New data is suggesting that America is headed right on the verge, in fact, of another civil war, a second civil war. And apparently, neither side is willing to back off. We're going to look at this new data, see if this is accurate, if there's anything to this. And we're going to look at some perspectives from the other side of the aisle on this whole issue of the second civil war. Is America headed for a second civil war? And it, might this even be prophetic? All of this and more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. I am your host, Josh Peck. Welcome to Peck Report. I hope you're having a good day today. We're not talking about a very uplifting issue, but it's still important to be informed, and it's good to know what new data suggests. So the National Sentinel recently put out a story, but this has also been reported in other places as well, that new data is indicating that America is on the verge of a civil war, and neither side apparently is willing to back off from this issue. This is something that we've talked about before on this show, on the possibility of a second civil war. And there's a lot of perspectives about it. There's different ways to look at it. But certainly, I think everybody agrees if there is a second civil war, it's not going to look anything like the first one. You know, it's not going to be a North versus South kind of thing where everybody, is in their own army and they're marching towards each other with guns. It's not going to be anything like that. What will it look like? We're going to get to that in just a minute. But let's look at this new data. So the report asks the question, will the United States soon enter a second civil war? Now, apparently, polling data from Georgetown University shows that an overwhelming majority of Americans believe a civil war is coming down the pike, and most people aren't actually willing to make any changes necessary to avoid this. Now, across the board, Americans are doubling down on their political values, whether they're on the right or on the left, and are refusing to compromise on the issues tearing the country apart. Now, again, when you think about the country being torn apart, a lot of that depends on which side of the political aisle you're on. I'm personally a conservative, so I can definitely see where people get this idea, but I don't think that the country is in as much turmoil against one another personally, the citizens against one another personally, as we're led to believe. I do believe the country's in turmoil. You know, I'm also a Christian, so I believe there's a spiritual component to all of this as well. But when it comes to personal grievances among citizens, I don't think it's as bad as the media portrays. You know, I mean, we'll see people, and you see this on both sides. You know, you see people claiming racism and things at a Starbucks because they can't use a bathroom, and then you see on the other side, you see reports of people ripping other people's MAGA hats off and being abusive that way. I don't think that happens as often as we would be led to believe in the media. I mean, think about this. How often have you personally seen it? You know, I'm out and about a lot. I do a lot of different things. I'm always on the road. I go to speaking engagements. I speak at conferences. I travel quite a bit. I kind of try to keep up to date on what's going on in the world. And there are a lot of reports on things like this. But I don't think it's necessarily as much as we would assume it is. It's still too much. There's still too much turmoil going on, interpersonal turmoil. But I don't think it's, quite as bad as we would be led to believe. And a lot of that rests on the shoulders of the media. So that could have something to do why this polling data is showing that this overwhelming majority of Americans believe a civil war is coming down the pike. But also, if Americans believe that, that in itself could cause it to happen. We act on our beliefs. If we believe that the country is in this terrible turmoil and everybody hates each other and there's never been a worse time in American history, and if we actually allow ourselves to believe that without looking at the appropriate data first, plus our own experiences as well, that in itself could perpetuate a second civil war. That could happen if we believe this narrative. You know, I think back to every time there's a natural disaster, and you're always seeing pictures of people of all races, all belief systems helping each other through that crisis. So I do believe there's hope here, but if we fall into the narrative, if we believe everything that we're told just because we see it on the news, and we don't do our own research, we could fall victim to perpetuating the outcome of these possible lies. You know, if we believe there's that much trouble, we're going to act like there's that much trouble. That could perpetuate a war. Now, the government officials are saying that there's a substantial chance that America will enter a civil war within the next 10 or 15 years. It could be that quickly. Meanwhile, other experts say the war has already begun. And we're going to look at one of these people who says that the civil war is already here. I don't believe that, but you know, again, you could make the case that the beginning of it, you know, what is going to culminate in an actual civil war is occurring now. But again, it depends on your perspective, and it depends how far we're willing to go with this narrative. Now, other experts say that this war has already begun, and when the war truly begins, again, that's up for debate. But at least one thing is clear: that the United States is rife with civil unrest and political animosity, and this is what could perpetuate this thing. So all this unrest is because we're constantly hearing on all sides of the aisle about the unrest, but also we're not seeing any examples of people just getting together, having a debate, even if they disagree, and showing respect to one another. You're never, even though that is, I believe that is what happens most often, you're not going to see that. That's not newsworthy. That doesn't make headlines or get clicks on websites. So you're not going to hear as much of that. So you're going to get the more sensational stuff, and it's going to seem like that's all it is. Most of the time, I fully believe that most of the time, two people of opposing views are able to just sit down and talk without it getting violent. But that's happening less and less and less because all everybody hears is all the violence that's occurring. So people think that's all there is, and people just naturally are going to join in on perpetuating that violence, because they're going to get more angry about it. They themselves are going to feel like they're being victimized. They're going to feel like they have to defend against it. You know, that's why you see like a violence towards, pro-life people who are praying on the street near a Planned Parenthood. You'll see violence towards somebody who's peacefully praying because they've been told that these Christians are all bullies. That they're bullies and they want to actually hurt people and they want to take people's rights away. And so to somebody who's attacking a person like that, they see it as a defense. It's not a defense, but they see it as a defense because they're buying into the narrative. So we see a lot of that. And again, when you get enough people doing that on both sides of the aisle, that could lead to something catastrophic. So again, the United States is rife with civil unrest, political animosity, and that could easily prove to be a greater threat to our nation than any foreign power. So the actual data collected, the polling data collected by Georgetown University's Institute of Politics and Public Service, indicates that, quote, more than half the likely electorate thinks we are more than 70% of the way to being at the edge of civil war, end quote. So, I mean, that's pretty shocking. That's a pretty shocking statement that just because they believe it doesn't mean it's true, but it's shocking that many people believe this. And that's not all. It turns out that most people now blame the mainstream media and social networking sites for fanning the flames of unrest, which of course, because as we stated before, the things that get clicks, the things that make the news are usually sensational. They're usually stories about an outlier, about some strange situation that isn't typical. But when you get that every day for hours a day, it seems like that's what the world is. Now, the research was led by two polling groups, the Terrence Group, Republican, and the Lake Research Partners, Democrat. So they found that in addition to believing in an imminent civil war, many voters are conflicted about compromise. So Celinda Lake of Lake Research Partners says that 86% of voters surveyed said that finding common ground should be a goal for politicians. Yet 79% also said they were tired of leaders who compromised on their values and instead want somebody who stands up to the other side. Now, while the nation is split on an array of political issues, voters on both sides of the aisle blame the media, politicians, special interests, the social networks for increasing the deep divide between right and left. You know what I would also throw in there? I think that they're just perpetuating a bigger problem. I think what the big problem is nobody knows how to debate anymore. We have cast off debate. I think what happened why this occurred is typically, conservatives, we try to be, as much as we can, rooted in sound logic and reason. And it used to be that that would be the basis which we could all agree on. You know, if you can show facts, logic, reason, that's the stuff we can agree on, and then we can debate the issues from there. But because of the introduction of things like moral relativism, and you know, your truth is your truth and my truth can be different and they can both be the truth, all this relativistic stuff, because of that, now generally people on the left, not all, but just generally, people on the left aren't interested in debate anymore because they can't, they won't even agree to the initial premise that things should be founded on fact and logic and reason. You know, they typically don't agree with that anymore. Now it's more about emotion and how I personally feel about something. That is what opinion should be based on. So really what it is you have two groups. You have generally conservatives and generally liberals who gain their opinions in different ways. Conservatives generally gain their opinions based on logic, fact, reason, that kind of stuff, and not so much the emotional stuff. Whereas liberals, again, generally, not all, generally get their opinions from largely emotion and things like that, and not quite as much around fact, logic, and reason. So when you get one person from each group debating, you're really having two different debates. It's really logic versus emotion. It's really fact versus feeling is what you get. And that's why you always see these videos. You can get the same debate clip and you'll see, you know, conservative speaker destroys leftist or something. But then you'll see the exact same clip on the other side of the aisle say, you know, a brilliant liberal destroys conservative bigot or something like that. And it'll be the same clip. It's because whoever gets destroyed is based on the person's perspective. If they're based in fact, or if they're based in emotion and feeling. So because we can't debate anymore, that's why this violence springs up. And it tends to spring up from the emotional side. Because, you know, violent reaction is really based in emotion. It's not based in logic and fact. You know, you can't logically and factually come up with a reason to be violent to somebody who is not being violent to you. You know, but you can use emotion to do that. So that's why you see it so much on one side of the aisle. And I'm not saying it's exclusive to that side of the aisle, but that's typically where you see it. Now, last year, State Department official Keith Mine said that there was a 60% chance that United States would enter a civil war within the next 10 to 15 years. But many experts believe that the civil war has already started. So it's not a secret that social media networks like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube have been actively conspiring to suppress conservatives. Now, their acts of blatant and unjustified censorship has been the subject of a lot of scrutiny. You know, people are getting upset about that. I'm one of them. Facebook has come under fire for similar unceremonious and unwarranted bans and suspensions and for censoring a wide variety of content, including information on vaccines, advertisements for conservative politicians, so on and so forth. you know, on my website, I sell, I don't personally sell them, but I provide links for people who want help through their chronic pain without having to deal with opioids. And I found a couple of things that are extremely effective. I'm a chronic pain sufferer myself. I can't actively advertise that on YouTube anymore. I can advertise it on my website, but I can't advertise it on YouTube. It goes against their standards. So stuff like that. Now, the mainstream media has been long accused of pushing propaganda and creating their own version of events to supplement their agenda. You know, like the Covington Catholic scandal was plenty of proof of that. We saw what happened there. So it's no surprise then that many experts believe the Civil War has already started, perhaps beginning with the left's targeted attack of prominent conservatives. Now, in addition to silencing them in the social media space, Democrat politicians have been accused of openly plotting to kill their conservative counterparts. So is it any wonder why we're at odds? You know, typically with conservatives, you'll see people that just want to debate. Again, generally, typically, not all. There are some violent people. But the thing is, we as conservatives, when somebody is violent or when somebody's found to be violent, we disavow that person immediately. Immediately. We don't make excuses for him just because he's, quote unquote, on the right. A lot of times when you dig down into the ideology, they're not really on the right anyway. But we don't make excuses for them. We disavow that person immediately and say we don't stand for that. You don't see that as much on the left. How many times has the left disavowed Louis Farrakhan? Now, you know, you might say, well, he was just banned from Facebook. Yeah, well, so were four other people on the right, and I think that was more of just a sacrificial thing just so they could say, well, look, we banned Louis Farrakhan, too. But look how long it took for that. I think there's a lot more going on there. So the possibility of a second civil war, I think, really hinges on how far we're willing to play into the narrative that's presented to us by social media, mainstream media, things like that. Are we going to buy into that narrative, or are we going to live in reality? Are we going to create our own new narrative where people can actually discuss things and it's okay if you lose an argument? You know, I mean, people tend to really take that personally. If you debate an issue and you lose an argument, instead of looking at it as an opportunity to learn something new, people take it personally. Like they look at it as if it's a smear on them as a person, when really all it is, it's an opportunity for you to learn and grow. That's how we should look at it. It's a good thing. It's actually a good thing if you recognize that you lost an argument. It doesn't make you any less of a person. It only makes you less of a person if you treat it that way. But it's actually a great thing to lose an argument. You get an opportunity to learn and grow, whoever you lost the argument to typically is going to be willing to help you with that, unless they're just a jerk, and in which case you shouldn't be debating with them anyway. If we get more of that stuff happening, more of that kind of stuff, you know, we can avoid any civil war. There would be no need for a civil war. We would just be a country who knows how to debate ideas. So we need to get back to that. We need to get back to understanding how to debate, how to share opinions, how to share objections, how to disagree without it letting it become violent. You know, a disagreement is not a reason for violence. Now, there's this other side of it too. How likely is a civil war? I don't think most people would really be willing to go along with that. I think those who would are people on the extremes of both sides. And I don't think there's a lot of those. I think most people, like myself, I would do anything to defend myself or my family, but I would not be excited and all up in arms to participate in a civil war against liberals and leftists, even though I disagree with them on basically everything. Again, you know, a disagreement isn't a reason to take a life. Now, to defend yourself is, if somebody's threatening my life or my family's, then that certainly is. But a disagreement isn't. I think most people really are like that. Not all, but it could be the very loud minority on both sides that perpetuate this thing that we'll all have to get pulled into. So, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But you know what? This is because things are getting more violent, because people are more willing to be active in that way. We are seeing it more, and the more people see it, the more people are going to believe that that's the way to act. There absolutely is a rise in violence. Again, I don't think it happens as often as it's portrayed on in the media, but there is a rise in it. There is a rise. And it's important that we do protect ourselves. And this is actually a good segue for me to tell you about the USCCA. Because it is so, you know, self-protection is incredibly important, and you don't want to ruin your life over it. So if you're not familiar with the USCCA, they're an excellent organization. You really should get involved. It stands for the United States Concealed Carry Association. It's an organization that stands up for your rights as a responsibly armed American. So these guys, they're hands down the best self-defense protection provider. This is for all forms of self-defense. It's not just guns. It's all forms of self-defense, but there is a focus on firearms. But they're hands down the best self-defense protection provider out there. Their firearms education and training resources are genuinely life-saving. There's hundreds of videos, guides, books, articles, you name it. So you might ask, why do you need self-defense protection? If you own or carry a gun, then you know that you take on the responsibility of having to defend yourself or your family every time you leave your house. And if you're forced to defend yourself with or without your firearm, you need to understand that you're going to have to face our legal system and the political baggage that comes with it, like all the stuff that we've talked about today. You know, that means you'll face arrest, legal fees, even the loss of your Second Amendment rights. So you don't want to deplete your life savings just to prove you're innocent. So the USCCA steps in and provides upfront funds to cover bail, attorney fees, civil and criminal defense costs, and more. They'll also pay for you to replace your gun if the police take it as evidence, which, you know, to be honest, they probably will. You can even choose your own attorney. And in fact, the USCCA has an extensive list of pro Second Amendment attorneys in every state who you can trust to defend your rights as an American gun owner. They also have a critical response team on call every day, all day, even on holidays. So you'll never have to worry about getting an answering machine. There are three levels of membership, so you can pick what works best for you and your needs. Membership covers all forms of self-defense, not only firearms. Again, not only firearms, but it provides all forms of self-defense in order to protect those who do not carry a firearm every day, but would still be willing to do whatever is necessary to protect themselves or their family. So with the USCCA, you can be confident that you will be taken care of if, God forbid, you should ever have to defend yourself with or without your gun. They also have the training and education you'll need to be prepared, which is one of the best parts of being a member. They're dedicated to training and educating gun owners. You know, you might like to think that you're pretty knowledgeable, but it seems like every day they've got something new and useful to teach. So you can feel better prepared carrying your gun or just being willing to protect yourself, knowing the USCCA is on your side every day. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can click on the link in the description. You can find the banner at dailyrenegade.com or text PECK, P-E-C-K, to 87222. That number is 87222. Text the word PECK, P-E-C-K, to 87222. That actually spells out USCCA, and you can see what they have to offer. You will not be disappointed. While you're clicking on links and stuff, it's also important to stay healthy, and Ultimate Bundles has a new healthy meal planning bundle, which you're going to want to get a hold of. This is over 1,000 whole food recipes. This is 38 done-for-you meal plans to choose from. Nutritional info for every recipe. It's indexed by dietary needs and health goals. It integrates with a Real Plan app. And ultimately, you get to spend less time in the kitchen. You get to be healthier and even lose weight because of it. So it's a great bundle. It can't be beat. Your health is extremely important. So you can get the healthy food, the healthy meal planning bundle for just $49.97 by clicking on the link in the description below, or just go to dailyrenegade.com. If you add $10 more, you can get the desserts and drinks bundle added along with that. So make sure you check that out. Click on the link in the description below and see what they have to offer. All right. So there is more to talk about with this idea of the Second Civil War. I want to look at some of the arguments on the other side of the aisle, so that way it's not just the conservative side. I want to see what one writer had to say from the other side, and I think this goes to show further that yes, if people believe a second civil war is coming, then a second civil war is coming. So I think the more that we can just get out there and have good debates without it becoming violent, and while maintaining respect and value for your opponent as a human being, I think the more that we can do that, the less likely a civil war will be. But if we continue on this narrative, which it seems like that's what most people are doing, if we continue on that narrative, then a second civil war is imminent. It just depends on when. And I'll just throw out there too. I'm going to save that part for members. If you want to become a member, you should become a member. Becoming a member of Daily Renegade today means that you will have access to full ad-free and exclusive videos produced by Daily Renegade that you can't get anywhere else, because YouTube has deleted so many of our videos, and it's just been a nightmare. So we've created this new platform, and you can have access to all the videos that have been deleted, and all just every video. You get full versions of Peck Report where it's not cut off halfway through for YouTube. You get full videos of Apollineering with Seth McVeigh, The Christian Contrarian with Gary Wayne, and more. You'll also have full access to our members-only message board, where hosts and viewers can fellowship together. We got a brand new website coming. It's basically going to become its own social media platform for members only. It's going to be great. And that's coming in like a week or two. But a membership to Daily Renegade is only $10 a month or $100 a year, which that is the better deal, because then you get 2 months for free. And you only have to pay one time, and you don't have to think about it for a whole other year. But either way, it works out to being less than a cup of coffee a day. It breaks down to you having access to 3 or 4 videos, sometimes more, for every $1 of your membership. So to be a member today, you can just click on the link in the description below, or just go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. Also, if you can't afford to become a member, we do have a plan available. We could use some more writers. We can always use articles and writers and stuff. If you want to be a writer for Daily Renegade, send me an article submission, 2,000 words or more in a Word document. Send it to joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com, topic of your choice, because I want to see if you know the audience well enough to know what they will enjoy. If I like your article, I'll give you a free membership. People have been asking, how often do they have to submit articles to maintain a free membership? You know, I figure at least once a month, but I mean, the more the better. Also, if you submit an article, you can put your own website in there, your own social media links. If you have affiliate links that you want to include and take advantage of the free distribution from Daily Renegade, you can do that. So we did this, but you got to actually have writing skills. So we're not going to just publish anything. You know, it's got to be up to par. And we did this for people who can't afford a membership, but they can afford their time. So if you can't afford a membership, that's okay. You can email me again, joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. You can also find that email on the contact page at dailyrenegade.com. Let me see your skills. All right, everybody. Well, for YouTube, we're going to say goodbye, and for members, just hold on the line. We're going to continue. We're going to continue for members only. So thank you all so much for everybody on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Please click the bell for notifications. YouTube has been removing a lot of our subscribers, so you might not be subscribed anymore, even if you think you are. Make sure you subscribe, click the bell for notifications, and until next time, take care and God bless. All right, members only. So let's continue on with this. The thing that I was going to say for YouTube, and I decided to just save it for members, was that we have to remember, too, there's a spiritual component to all of this. There's a spiritual component here. And what is going to benefit the enemy more. Because there's an ongoing debate if America is in Bible prophecy or not. And there are two sides of that issue, you know, and both have good points. But if America is not in Bible prophecy, why not? Is it because we've been wiped out by another nation? It could be, but I think most logically, probably it would be the Second Civil War stuff. I think that the enemy would cause so much turmoil and division in the country that we just destroy ourselves, basically. You know, we get caught up in a civil war and then we can't focus on anything else because we're focusing on this. And then the country crumbles because of it. Or maybe in lieu of that, while that's going on, maybe not in lieu of it, but maybe while that's going on, another invading power comes in and just wipes us out. So, you know, there's other ways to look at it. But I wanted to save at least that for members only because, you know, it has to do with prophecy, and it really it's just kind of my own ideas about it. But speaking of ideas, there's somebody else who wrote an article about how Democrats and the GOP have already waged a second American Civil War. And the writer of this seems to be more on the left. I don't know that for absolute sure. I actually couldn't find a whole ton of information, but this does come from UPI.com, but you know, the writer says, but the way that it reads like more of a liberal kind of side of things. So we can look at that just to kind of get some insight on the other side of the aisle. So it says that America endured the Civil War between 1861 and 1865, but now an undeclared second Civil War has already broken out between Republicans and Democrats. The immediate casus belli is not Confederates firing on Fort Sumter in 1861, but instead President Donald Trump is today's Fort Sumter. It is open season on him and, of course, on his Democratic adversaries. The Civil War is fought not with bullets and bayonets, but with 21st century technology that can prove equally deadly in terminating political careers. You know, I mean, of course, he's using metaphorical language here. It's not literally equally as deadly. You know, I mean, destroying a political career is not the same as murdering somebody or killing somebody in war. But, you know, okay, so point taken. Social media and cable television are the newest weapons, and subpoenas and indictments are the instruments of destruction. So wider spread violence could erupt, something that did not happen during the worst years of McCarthyism in the 1950s, and could spread far beyond the racially induced 1968 riots. Now, I agree with that. This could get really bad. I don't think we're there yet, but this could get a lot worse than all of that stuff. And it says, however, the larger danger is to the future of America's democracy. The cause of the Civil War is irreconcilable differences over the Constitution and the authority of the federal government over the states, even though slavery was a divisive and decisive factor, it wasn't all about slavery. Now, today, the Constitution is again at risk, meaning so is our democracy. So divided government and a political system of checks and balances can only work when one party has veto-proof control over all three houses of government, or when sufficient compromise and civility can overcome often profound political differences. Neither of these conditions exist right now. Now, again, this is from this writer's perspective. So he says, instead, poisonous toxicity and vicious partisanship dominate this political battleground. I will say that's probably what happens in Washington. That's probably what happens in the actual government. But that's what the mainstream media is putting out. But again, I think that we here, you know, the citizens, I think, by and large, we know how to be civil with one another when we disagree. Now, again, we don't see that on the news. What we see are the outliers, are the horrible acts of violence that occur, and it makes us think that the whole country is like this. But again, how often have you or me, how often have we actually seen this personally with our own eyes, unless we're actually going out of our way to attend a protest or something like that? I've never seen it. Personally, you know, I've seen people fight over really stupid things, but I've never seen like what is talked about on in the media all the time. I mean, the way that the media portrays it, you would think that every American would be seeing this stuff every day, but we really don't. I don't think it's as bad as they're saying. But again, if people believe it's that bad, they're going to act like it's that bad. And that in itself could start a literal second civil war. Now, this writer says that the rot began with the Vietnam War and then Watergate, and that before both, the American public largely trusted its government in Washington. In the intervening decades, public confidence in major institutions from the clergy to the media and especially towards politicians plummeted, and a succession of administrations failed to provide responsive government. Now, the surge in costs of healthcare, education, retirement, and growing disparities between rich and poor have sparked outrage on the part of too many Americans. But again, now this is me talking. I don't think that it's those reasons. I think it's how those things are portrayed. You always hear the leftist narrative of, like, let's take one of those, the growing disparity between the rich and the poor. You always hear the leftist narrative that that is unfair. Is it really unfair, though, or is it a fact of nature? You know, that same disparity, how you have, you know, you have a bunch of poor at the bottom and then like the top 1% of rich people are hoarding all the wealth. Is that really unfair? Is it really they're hoarding all the wealth and not sharing with anybody? Or did they earn it legally? Did they earn it? And are they allowed to be billionaires? Is this actually more of a fact of nature? You could look into Price's Law. This actually is a fact of nature. You take anything and you have that same thing. You have the less amount of that thing in more numbers at the bottom, and then you have the the least amount of the largest at top. You can find that in tree heights. You can find it in the size of stars in the universe or in the Milky Way galaxy. You see it in anything that can be classified in that way. You see that same type of pyramid shape where the top 1% are, in metaphorical terms, hoarding all the wealth. So if that is what's really going on, and it is, you don't ever hear that on the news. You only hear one side of it. And you have a bunch of unrest about the top 1%, you know? And another thing too is, you know, we tend to think of the top 1% as like 5 or 6 billionaires in the world that's holding all the wealth. That's not really what's happening. The top 1% changes all the time. People go in and out of the top 1% all the time. You know, it's sort of like a revolving door. And, you know, even to be in the top 6%, you know, it's not, I mean, it's still a lot of money, but it's not as much as you would think. To be in the top 6%, I think you need to make, I think it's like $10,000 in a month or something like that. So like $100,000 a year, or $120,000 a year. It's something like that. And to be in the top 1%, I don't remember the exact figure, but I think it's something like $300,000 a year or something. So it's not always millionaires and billionaires. So there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of people in the top 1%. You know, if you figure, if you take the actual population of the United States, we have something like, you know, I'm actually gonna look it up real quick because I don't want to get this wrong. So we have 328,767,000. Let's round it to 329. We have 329 million people. So what would 10% of that be? You know, 10% of 328 would be 32. That's 10%. Then 1% would be 3. So 3 million. Roughly, a little bit more than 3 million people, 3.28, 3.29 million people are in the top 1%. So this isn't 5 or 6 billionaires. This is millions of people. And those millions of people change. It revolves. It's a revolving door. Sometimes people are in the top 1%, sometimes they're not, and it changes a lot. So there's a lot of things that you're not going to hear on mainstream media that because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative that there's evil billionaires, all billionaires are evil, and they're just hoarding the wealth while people are dying in the street of starvation. Look, no one in America is really dying of starvation. You know what one of the top health risks of people on welfare is? Obesity. To say that we're starving, and I don't mean that like literally nobody is starving. It's just, it's not the type of problem that the mainstream media would have you believe. But because this narrative gets pushed, more and more people believe that the country is in more turmoil than it actually is. That could lead to a war. Now, so this article goes on to say that Trump was the major beneficiary of this discontent. His promises to disrupt Washington and drain the swamp were seductive, but his presidency is metastasizing Democratic animosity into outright hatred. Driving Trump from office has become so important that all means, fair or foul, are justified. And so it continues on from there. So obviously, you know, the idea of our president being the one divisive voice, I think, is incomplete. He can certainly be divisive at times, but so can everybody else. What I think mainly is happening is not so much what Trump says, but how it's interpreted by the media, how it's interpreted by social media, and how we are learning from the media how to talk about these things. You know, we as the American people are doing that more and more and more. We're seeing how it's talked about on CNN, and then we go and repeat that same way of talking about it. We do that a lot, and I think that we need to learn to have minds of our own. So the article does go on to say a lot more. You can check it out at upi.com if you want to read the rest. I want to leave it there because I think that's probably sufficient for our discussion. But as usual, I want to know what you think. So go ahead and leave me a comment on this video or leave a message in the message board. And I would love to know your opinion on this. Do you think America is headed for a second civil war? All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being members. Thank you for your membership. And until next time, take care and God bless.